Today is Thursday, January the 14th, 2016. We're going to hear Reb Moshe Soloveitchik Shir and Parshas Bo.
Thank you for this class and how much we value his classes and the effort that he puts in of coming and delivering it to us. Thank you very much, Reb Soloveitchik and Mrs. Soloveitchik.
Notes?
Yes.
Okay, this the end of this week's Sedra discusses the mitzvah of tefillin. Now, the tefillin has four parshios, chapters is a bad word, But four paragraphs, I guess is a better word.
Okay.
Four paragraphs from the Torah in them. The first paragraph, we have tefillin of the hand, and we have tefillin of the head. Now there's a difference between the tefillin of the hand and the tefillin of the head. The tefillin of the head... Well, tefillin of the hand, all four paragraphs from the Torah are written generally on one piece of parchment. The tefillin of the head has four compartments. It has four compartments, and each compartment has one paragraph from the Torah in it. Now, what are the four paragraphs that are in it? So two are in Parshas Bo, and two are in Chumash Dvarim. The first paragraph, this is after the Jewish people left Egypt, or while they're leaving Egypt. The mitzvah of tefillin is being given to them. So the first Parsha is on page 360, Kadesh li kol b'chor, sanctify to me the firstborn, because that reminds us of the miracle that in Egypt the firstborn of Egypt was killed, and the firstborn of the Jew was saved. So to commemorate that, and in recognition of that, so in a certain theoretical sense, the firstborn belongs to God and is then redeemed. So that's the first paragraph that's found in the tefillin. The next paragraph is on page 162. It also talks about the same thing, but... That's v'haya kiviyacha. So the first two paragraphs of the tefillin are two paragraphs that discuss the reaction of the Jew to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to the Exodus from Egypt. That's the two paragraphs. And included in that is not just about the Bechor, about the firstborn, but the mitzvah of telling your children about what happened in Egypt. That's also included in that. So those are the first two chapters in the tefillin. But then there are two other chapters in the tefillin. It's in Chumash Dvarim. One is the chapter of Shema Yisrael, and the second is V'haya im Shemoa. Okay, now, so the question is, now I'm not going to discuss, there are four different opinions in terms of the order that we put these paragraphs in the tefillin. I'm going to discuss Rashi's opinion, because Rashi... This is a very simple opinion, one. Secondly, Rashi's opinion is the generally accepted practice today. Among Hasidim, they put on two pairs of tefillin. They put Rashi, and they put Rabbeinu Tam. Next year, Parshas Bo, we'll discuss Rabbeinu Tam's Shita. Huh? There were those that put it on at the same time, but most people didn't.
The 4 pairs film.
Oh, we know. It's more than four. 64 pairs. But okay, it's a separate issue. Anyway, Rashi, and the other opinion I want to discuss is the Shemushe Rabba. That's Tsar Sholem Goen. He was before the time of Rashi. Now Rashi's opinion is that the order of the paragraphs that are put in the tefillin is in the order that's in the Torah. The first paragraph in the Torah is Kadesh. So in the tefillin, we put Kadesh first. The second is V'haya Kibiyacha, when you come to the land of Israel, how you commemorate the Exodus. That's the second parsha, the second paragraph that's in the tefillin. Then Shema, which is in Chumash Dvarim, is the third paragraph. So in the tefillin, it's also the third paragraph. And then V'hayim Shemoa, which is the fourth paragraph of the four in the Torah, is in the tefillin, the fourth. Well, we'll get into that. That's the argument. Anyways, So Rashi's opinion is that it's from left to right. Why? Because Rashi says it's not based on the person wearing the tefillin, but it's based on the person opposite him looking at the tefillin. So it's the right to left of the person opposite him, but it's left to right of the person. The Shemushe Rabbah seems to make a lot more sense. The Shemushe Rabbah says, as Ira said, that it's from right to left of the person wearing the tefillin. It's the order of the Torah from right to left. Now, what is interesting is that most poskim say that in regard to the whole argument is in the tefillin of the head. But in the tefillin of the hand, where you don't have four separate things, you could do it either way. Either right to left, left to right, that there is no argument about that. So, a matter of fact, that happens very often. If somebody comes into shul and he's a righty, and he borrows somebody who is a lefty tefillin, that happens all the time. So what you do is, because the knot on the tefillin of the hand has to face the body, so many poskim, including the Chayotim, they say you just reverse the tefillin, put it on the opposite way. So in other words, doesn't make a difference right to left, left to right. The only thing that's important is that the knot, when it comes to the hand, that the knot face the body. But there is a clear dispute when it comes to the tefillin of the head. That's okay. Now, and we'll try to understand that, but So we have to understand now Rashi, the simple explanation of Rashi Rashi doesn't seem to make sense, because logic dictates that it should be from the perspective of the one wearing the tefillin. It should be the right to left of the one wearing the tefillin. So Rashi is very difficult. Now, but I have another question. And this question, I remember my father asking it, and my father quoted an answer from the Shla. And to be honest with you, I don't want to sound like an apikoris, but I accepted it readily, but I have a lot of trouble today with the answer of the Shla. What can I do? Anyway, but the Rashi asked the question, how do we know there are four compartments or four partials in the tefillin? How do we know? How do we know? So Rashi cites Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, tefillin. So he says, totafos. The Torah uses the word totafos. So he said, tot, the word tot, in, let me get it, in katve means two. Tot. The word tot in the language of katve, katve is assumed to be some country near the Caspian Sea. Totafos, tot means two, and fos in some African language means two. Now, basic mathematics, you don't need to be advanced mathematics, everybody knows 2 + 2 = 4, right? So that's how we know that the tefillin requires the tefillin shorosh has to have four sections, and you need four parshios in the tefillin. Now the obvious question is, why does the Torah give us a gzeiras hakasav that's based on foreign languages? All of a sudden, we're talking about the Caspian Sea, the language. The Torah never talks with the language of the Caspian Sea. And the Torah doesn't talk about the languages in Africa. All of a sudden, we find that how do we know that you have to have four parshios because the Torah uses the word totafos. By the way, the little translation of totafos is an ornament. And tot means two in the Caspian language, and fos means two in the African language. I assume that by now those languages have changed. But 2 + 2 = 4. Why is the Torah telling us this through the usage of foreign languages? So my father, I remember I was a freshman in college at the time, actually. I just graduated high school. So I postponed going to college for 1 year. Anyway, so my father mentioned the Shla. And the Shla says something that I found somewhat interesting. He says that the original language was Lashon HaKodesh, the original language of mankind. There are some Medrashim that seem to indicate to the reverse of that. But most Medrashim assume that the original language was Hebrew. But then when God took... after the Dor HaFlaga, after the time of the flood, and man again rebelled against God, he built this tower to rebel against God, and what God said is, I'm going to spread them around the world, and I'll mix up their languages, that they shouldn't be able to talk one to the other. Actually, right now, I think that's the best way to get peace. But anyway, so that they shouldn't be able to talk one to another. So words that were from Hebrew were brought into other languages. So the Shla says tot and fos were originally part of Hebrew, but then it became part of the other languages. Okay, I'm willing to accept that. But again, the question is, why do you have to pick words? Why did the Torah have to pick words that were originally part of Hebrew and now are not part of Hebrew, and was adopted by foreign countries, foreign cultures, foreign people, and to tell us this law about the tefillin? Now, there is, it's interesting, there is a law that when it comes to the tefillin of the head, the tefillin of the head are not supposed to be covered. The tefillin of the hand, first of all, almost everybody covers it up. First of all, some people put something over it, and sometimes they put their sleeves over it also. Whatever it is, there's a difference between the tefillin of the head and the tefillin of the... Matter of fact, I heard from some students of my uncle, and I had a problem with it, but then I realized that my uncle would not put the talus over his head. Now, I had trouble with that. Why? Because I remember davening with my uncle Shabbosim on Shabbos, and I remember him that he always wore the talus over his head. And then I realized the answer. Shabbos, you don't wear tefillin. So he was able to put the talus over his head. In the weekdays, the boys in the yeshiva, they didn't see him on Shabbos. They saw him on the weekdays. In the weekdays, he was scared that the talus would go over the tefillin, and he didn't want to cover the head. And the question is, why not? And there's a very interesting Gemara in Brachas, and it's Menachas also. The Torah says, V'ro kol ha-me'aretz, kishem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. Eilu tefillin shel barosh. All the nations of the world will see, the Pasuk says, this is in Chumash Dvarim, I think. V'ro kol ha-me'aretz, all the nations of the world will see that the name of God is called upon you, and they will be scared of you. So Amar Rabbi Lezer HaGadol says, Eilu tefillin shebarosh, that's the tefillin of the head. In other words, the tefillin of the head is something that causes the nations of the world to recognize the Jewish identification with God. So that's the tefillin of the head. Now, I would think, so maybe with that, so that's the reason why one should not cover. You know, it's the tefillin shel yad, that's represents in a sense our private thing, that we're not showing, but the tefillin shel rosh, the tefillin of the head, we're showing off to the whole world our identification with God. But the tefillin of the hand is our personal relationship with God. Matter of fact, there's a very interesting Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that, now, I don't know that this Gemara has to be taken literally, but the idea contained in the literal explanation is very important. The Gemara says that in the future, the nations of the world will want to do certain mitzvahs. Because, you know, after when Mashiach comes and God is revealed throughout the world and whatever it is, everybody's going to want to jump on the bandwagon. One mitzvah they'll want to do is sukkah, but they're going to get upset, angry at the sukkah because they're going to get too hot, so they're going to kick the sukkah and get out. And one of the mitzvahs that they want to do, the Gemara says, is tefillin. But in saying what mitzvah, they put it in the opposite order. We put the tefillin of the hand, of the arm first, and then we put the tefillin of the head. Now, the Gemara says that when they'll put it on, they'll put the tefillin of the head first, and then the tefillin of the arm. Now, what's the idea behind it? I think there are two possible ideas behind it. One idea, and that has to do with us. In other words, there are those that like to demonstrate, publicize their identification with God. And only later on do they come to have that personal relationship with God. putting the tefillin of the hand first is the idea before you go around being God's campaign manager or showing how great you are, how close you are to God. You got to establish your personal relationship with God. The tefillin of the hand, that's the personal relationship. That's the relationship that you hide, so to say. Only afterwards, the nations of the world, when they'll want to identify with God, it's going to only be first they want to publicly to show the nation. That's one reason. And then I think there's another possibility. And I'm bringing this in because that's the idea that's contained here. The Tefillin Shel Rosh represents the idea of the world seeing our identification. And we shouldn't hide. Right now there's a big problem. Listen, I'm not telling the Jews in France what to do. But sometimes, and listen, Sakonis Nefashos is Sakonis Nefashos, but the some people in France now tell Jews to not to wear yarmulkes in the street because it's a danger. We generally, under normal circumstances, we don't hide our identification and our association with God. But it's important that our identification, associationship with God shouldn't be just a public relations campaign. There has to be a sincerity. There has to be a personal relationship with God, which is the Tefillin Shel Yad. However, I think there's another possible answer, just since I brought it up, I just want to mention it. The Gemara tells us that because the Jewish people said Nasa at the time of the giving of the Torah, God asked the Jewish people, are you going to accept the Torah or not? So the Jewish people said Nasa v'nishma, we will do and we will listen. Now, so, and the Gemara says that God said, because you said do before listen, So because you said do before listen, therefore 600,000 angels came down and put two crowns on the heads of each Jew. Now, the point is, what does it mean? Because it doesn't say because they said both things. It says because they said Nasa, we will do before listen. What does that mean? So my uncle says, and there are many explanations. I don't think there's anything in Drush and Agoda that has more explanations than this. But my uncle explained it with a certain concept that the Baal HaTanya mentions. I mean, the truth of the matter is, if the Baal HaTanya didn't mention it, we probably could have said it ourselves, and we would have used different words. But since the Baal HaTanya mentions it, I'll use the words. The Baal HaTanya says there are two types of das, of understanding, commitment. We call the das elyon, the das tachto. The higher das, the higher understanding, and the lower understanding. He says, what's the higher understanding? The higher understanding, that's the true person. That's the instinctive reaction of man. It's the way man acts without even thinking. Because that's the true person. It's very Freudian. It's the true person is the way a person reacts automatically. And then there is the actions a person takes after he thinks. That's the lower form of understanding. It's interesting. A person could have said the reverse. But so my uncle said, Nasa we will do, even before we think. We are committing ourselves to Torah, that we're not going to have to think over what it is and what it isn't. Nasa, but nevertheless we're going to try to understand it. But our commitment is not based on our understanding. The understanding comes after the commitment. Now, the tefillin of the hand, where the hand symbolizes doing something, action. Next Nasa, we will do. Nishma, the Nishma, that's to learn, to understand. That's the filling of the head. The brain symbolizes learning and understanding. So the nations of the world, they're ready to commit themselves when the circumstances are good for that, but they'll have to have the nishma before the nasa. I have to think about it. I have to consider it, and then, okay, this philosophically makes sense. Of course, because it works in his favor at the time, as the Gemara tells us that when things seem not to work out for him, they drop it right away. So that's the nations of the world. The nations of the world put the tefillin shalyah of the rosh on the head first, and then the tefillin of the head. But in any case, the tefillin of the rosh, that represents also the tefillin of the head represents our public identification with God. Now, I think that's why we use foreign languages of, that are foreign. In other words, because we're not embarrassed of our identification with God. When we put on the tefillin, it's not only we're not embarrassed. What is true is that the Jewish people have B'nei B'chori Yisrael. We are the trailblazers. Where did the nations of the world learn monotheism, commitment, recognition of God? They learned it from the Jewish people. Not because the Jewish people stood at street corners giving them flowers, but because of the way the Jews act. It takes a longer time, but it has a greater impact. That's the tefillin shel yad. But the tefillin shel yad is only tefillin of the head, that the nations of the world sees. But that's only effective if we first put on the tefillin shel yad. It's not a game. So this, I think that's the reason why we use foreign languages, because part of the goal of the tefillin shel yad, of the rosh, of the head, is for to be an influence on the nations of the world. And to emphasize that point, we learn out the four sections, totafos, of the filling of the head. We learn it out from two foreign languages, tot and fos. Now, and I think that's why Rashi Shita is, that it's in the opposite direction. It's based on the viewer. Because in the tefillin shel rosh, because the purpose of the tefillin shel rosh is to serve, figuratively, is to serve as an influence on the viewer, not so much on the person putting on the tefillin. Now, but what we have to understand is the Shemushei Rabbah, the opinion of the Shemushei Rabbah. The Shemushei Rabbah says the reverse. The Shemushei Rabbah says that the partials are put in the order of right to left of the one who's wearing the tefillin, not the one who views the tefillin. What does he do with the Gemara? The Gemara says, V'roh kol amei aretz, the whole the nations of the world will see, kishem Hashem nikra alecha, that the purpose of the tefillin shel rosh is for it to be viewed by everybody. What does he do with that Gemara? So, I want to just digress for a moment. There is a big machlokus, and today there are both practices. How many brachas does one make on tefillin? Well, that's what you make. Anyway, so Rashi's opinion is that you make only one bracha. Lahaniach tefillin. If somebody will talk between the putting on of the tefillin of the hand and the putting on of the tefillin of the head, according to Rashi, then you make al mitzvah tefillin. You make the second bracha. And notice, what is Rashi's opinion? Rashi's opinion is the bracha that you make on this tefillin goes on this tefillin also. But if you talk in the middle, so the bracha, there's a hefsek, there's a separation. So you have to make another bracha. That's Rashi's opinion. By the way, that's the practice in my family. I know that's not the predominant practice in Ashkenazi communities, but that's the practice in my family. Okay, so
one bracha as long as you don't speak.
That's right. Hey. That's right. That's right. Shorter davening. Anyway, so
Laniach
Tzolim. That's not the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam said, you make l'haniach before you put the tefillin of the hand, and you make al mitzvah's tefillin when you put on the head. That's the predominant Ashkenazic custom. But what happens if somebody doesn't have tefillin shaliat, or unfortunately it sometimes happens, someone loses his hand, he can't put tefillin on the hand. How many brachas does he make according to Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam says that if you just have the tefillin of the head, you make two brachas on the tefillin of the head. L'haniach and al mitzvah. So the question is, why do you make two brachas? So, my uncle gave a very interesting explanation. My uncle said, the Rambam mentions that, he says, the mitzvah of tefillin is a great mitzvah. Because, and a very important mitzvah, because so long as the tefillin is on the head of a person is a none of, he's modest. I don't see that working so well these days. Anyway, but a person is modest, a person has fear of heaven, a person, all these things. And therefore, the Rambam says, a person should try to have his tefillin on all day long. Now, we obviously can't do it because we're not on that level. And he says when you have your tefillin on you, you're only thinking about God, etc., etc. So in other words, there are two separate mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah of putting on tefillin. Like there's a mitzvah of taking a lulav and esrog. But there's another mitzvah of having the tefillin on. But there's a difference. It's not just the action of putting the tefillin. The way my uncle would say it, the tefillin, in a sense, has to mold the personality of the person. The mitzvah of having tefillin is molding the personality of the person. And so what's Rabbeinu Tam's opinion? Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is, and there's a famous story with the Vilna Gaon. I've mentioned this story here. The Vilna Gaon was arrested. In those days, if you were Jewish, you were arrested one time or another. You know. Anyway, so the Vilna Gaon was arrested. Matter of fact, they recently, after the Soviet government fell, so all the papers of the Tsarist government were open for checking. So they had a list of the people that in the 1700s were put in jail in Vilna. And it says Rabbi Eliyahu Chassid. It happens to be the Vilna Gaon's last name was Kramer. A matter of fact, in geometry, there is Kramer's Law was made by the Vilna Gaon. So, because Vilna Gaon was a great genius in other areas also. So, but they probably asked the Jew, who is this? He was known as the Rabbi Eliyahu, the pious one. So they said, that's Rabbi Eliyahu Chassid. So they wrote down on the prison papers, Rabbi Eliyahu Chassid. Anyway, so they went in. Archko, by the way, gives a little different version of this story, but I'm telling over the story. I forgot who I heard it from, but I heard it from my father or somebody else, I don't remember. Anyway, so so they went in to question him. The Vilna Gaon was wearing his tefillin at the time, and And the guy who came in to question the Tefillin Gaon, he saw him with his tefillin, he got scared and ran out. So the guy, there was another Jewish prisoner there with the Vilna Gaon. He says, how come he ran out? He said, it's explicit Gemara. The Gemara says, V'roh kol ha-me'aretz, all the nations of the world will see the name of God on you, V'yoru mimecha, and will fear you. And Rabbi Lazar Gavel says, that's the tefillin of the head. That's the tefillin of the head. And I was wearing the tefillin of the head. So this guy figured, hey, when they come in to question me, I'll do the same thing, right? So he put the tefillin on his arm, and he put the tefillin on his head. They came in to question him, and they beat him up. So he went to the Vilna Gaon, you know, barely making it. He says, how is it that you, they ran away, and me, they beat up? So the Vilna Gaon says, if you look at the Gemara says, Eilu tefillin, these are the tefillin, Eilu tefillin sheberosh, in the head. It doesn't say these are the tefillin on the head. In other words, there are two perspectives of tefillin shel rosh. You can see the tefillin as something that's on the head. It's an action, you put it on. Like you take a lulav. But tefillin is something more than that. There's a higher level. Another mitzvah of tefillin shel of the rosh. And that's the mitzvah of having the tefillin affect your personality. And that's not just the mitzvah of personality. That's the mitzvah of tefillin. Two separate mitzvahs. Where's that mitzvah? V'roh kol ha-me'aretz kishem. All the nations of the world will see that God's name is called on you. That's the mitzvah. Tefillin shebarosh. That's the tefillin of the head. That's the tefillin. When you let the tefillin affect your personality, I think that's the reason. That's the reason. My uncle said, that's the reason Rabbeinu Tam said you make two mitzvahs, two brachas on the tefillin of the head. Now, the first bracha goes on both. We don't say the bracha l'haniach twice, but Rabbeinu Tam says if somebody will talk between the tefillin of the hand and the tefillin of the head, so when he puts the tefillin of the head, he makes two brachas, l'haniach and al mitzvahs. Why? Because in the tefillin of the head, there are two mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. That's the l'haniach. But the other is v'roh kol ha-me'aretz kishem Hashem nikra elecha, having the tefillin on you, having the name of God called upon you. That's al mitzvah tefillin. And I think that's the reason. That's the reason why the Shemusha Rabba says that we put the tefillin in the order of the Torah from right to left of the wearer. Because what the nations of the world have to see is not the tefillin itself. Rashi's understanding, V'roh kol ha-me'aretz kishem nikra alecha, is that the nations of the world should see the tefillin. The opinion of the Shemusha Rabba is when it says V'roh kol ha-me'aretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha, that the name of God is called on you, you know, is they have to see how the tefillin affects your personality. So the parshas have to be from the perspective of the one who's wearing it. It's from the perspective of the one who's wearing it. So it's from the right to left. It's from the right to left of the owner. Now, what we have to understand, what's true about tefillin, true to a certain degree of all mitzvahs. In other mitzvahs, though, it's not part. We have to let lulav and esrog affect our personality also. But that's not part of the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. That's part of the mitzvah of midos, the mitzvah of acting properly, having the proper attitude. But when it comes to tefillin, having the tefillin affect our personality is not only just the mitzvahs of personality, it's part of the mitzvah of tefillin. Mitzvah tefillin is that the nations of the world should see how our personality is how we are identified with God, and what causes us to be identified by God is the mitzvos as symbolized by the tefillin. It's not just talking about the shin, the dalid and the shin on the tefillin, but it's talking about the way a person acts. When you see the tefillin, when they see the tefillin on the person, they see the effect that the tefillin has it. I didn't discuss a bit of time. Why should I discuss the right?
We're going to daven Maariv immediately, and would appreciate it if you could stay for a minute.